Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield, to Knightstown to Greensburg. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Decatur County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a very special guest in studio.
Nicole Kiprilov is a political consultant, former press secretary for Elise Stefanik, has done a lot of stuff in New York. Nicole, welcome to Indy. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
So what brings you to Indy? Because I'm looking at your resume here, which is super impressive, but there's a lot of stuff about New York on there. And we can talk about that in just a little bit. But what brings you to Indy?
So I've been on a mission to flip New York for a few years now, and I didn't think that was a big enough task, so I came to Indy to try and flip Indianapolis as well. So we are here. I'm here to really look into some of the civic engagement that's happening in Indianapolis to figure out why in a red state you have a city as blue as Indianapolis and what we can do about it, right? So we're looking specifically at diversity outreach to the different communities here. What are some of the gaps in the infrastructure that the Republican Party is leaving behind? How do we go in, identify those gaps, and figure out how can we come up with solutions to that? And my understanding is there's already a lot of momentum here. So if we can take a look at the model that's being used for diversity outreach, conservative diversity outreach, and scale it, maybe replicated on a national level, that would be a huge win.
Well, I mean, in the midterms, New York did flip from blue to red in certain districts and city council seats and house seats, right?
You know, we did
There's
well.
There's a few.
There were a few, but you know what? It wasn't enough. And I think from my perspective as someone who's really deep into politics and New York politics and government, and I've been doing it for a few years, I had a little bit of a different perspective because I could see how lacking our campaigns were, how lacking our candidates were. You know, we're not picking our best candidates. We don't have the campaign infrastructure, but the potential is there. The energy is there. New Yorkers are fed up, especially now with the migrant or the, I call it the illegal immigrant crisis. It's not a migrant crisis. Yeah. It's the illegal immigrant crisis. New Yorkers are fed up. It doesn't matter who you are, what your political background is. Everyone wants a higher quality of life currently in New York City. So the momentum is there, the energy is there, but we are just not doing enough to harness it.
So when you've got the job that you've been tasked to do, take a city like Indianapolis and take it from a pretty blue city to eventually maybe spots of red, does that include having tough conversations with the folks that may be on your side, the Republican Party? Because so often here in Indy, it feels like the Indiana Republicans have decided to just mail in Indianapolis. Yeah. There's a lot of races where there's not even a candidate.
Oh, absolutely. It requires having those conversations. But, you know, these conversations can absolutely be very productive because at the end of the day, it's all about our shared values, what we all care about, right? People who are, you know, the people of Indianapolis and the people in the who are leading the Republican Party, you know, they have a lot in common. They have kids who go to the same schools, who are dealing with CRT and SEL in those schools, right? So they care at the root. At the root, we care about the same things. And so I think those conversations can be very productive. I think moving the needle in a city like Indianapolis starts at the grassroots level. It's going to take time, but it's about uniting behind a strategy that can eventually work. And I think it's possible. It just requires cooperation from many different entities, and it requires a lot of hard work.
You talk about grassroots. We're starting from like the dirt and the seed right. In Indianapolis. There ain't no grassroots because it's, you know, some of these elections, it's been like 60-40. Mayor Hogsett, for instance, liberal prosecutor Ryan Mears, same deal.
Breakdown of Democrats to Republicans,
yes,
in the county.
Exactly.
So we've done a lot of that grassroots work actually in New York in some of the bluest electoral districts there. And it's honestly eye-opening. And no one really wants to hear about this because it's not glamorous work. No one wants to go out and do deep canvassing, but that's where it starts. You have to start. We don't have the luxury of jumping to, a more advanced level at this point. We have to start at the basics. And I could tell so many stories about this. I can tell you stories about spending hours in the bluest areas in New York talking to Democrats who are fed up with what's happening because they want a stop sign put up at the end of their street and their local city council representative isn't putting up a stop sign. They're concerned about their kids' safety when cars are driving by. But the reason they're not voting Republican is because they haven't gotten that outreach from the Republican Party, from Republican candidates. So that's the energy I'm talking about, right? Is it's there. The people are fed up. The people are on our side generally. But how do we talk to them? How do we harness that energy? That's really what it comes down to.
We're chatting with Nicole Kiprilov, political consultant, trying to figure out if there's any way possible Indianapolis could change its political landscape. Now, again, you came up through New York, and we were talking off the air. You were a communications representative for Elise Stefanik. What's that like? Because she's a name that's out there. She's one of those folks that could just put out a tweet that says, good morning, and 55 people respond with the middle finger emoji or something like that. She's one of those people that have aligned herself with Donald Trump. She's a well-known Republican. What's it like being in that spotlight?
Well, you know, it requires having thick skin, right? That goes without saying. I think at the point at which I was Elise Stefanik's press secretary, I had already, you know, gone through so much of the, you know, BS in New York politics, and I had been fighting the Democrats, the Republicans, pretty much everyone in New York. So I had built up that thick skin by the time I got to
her. Did you ever fight the love gov, Andrew Cuomo? Did he ever have any harsh words for you?
I was working in the state Senate at the time for a prominent state senator. So, you know, I was doing his communication strategy. So, yeah, absolutely. We were fighting him as well. But there was, you know, at the time, there was also a bigger enemy, which was, there was the forming of the leftist coalition, the radical leftist coalition in the state Senate. And that was, I was fortunate enough to be in the state Senate when that coalition was forming, which was, you know, I say that sarcastically because it was obviously a horrible thing, but it was also good to see the formation of that and really try and destroy it at the beginning. So, that was definitely an interesting experience.
When you look at the news and see what's happening to New York right now, Mayor Adams, and you've got woke prosecutors, you've got this, you know, influx of illegal aliens. What do you think when you see what's happening to New York now?
I think now is finally the time for Republicans in New York to wake up and realize we need better campaign infrastructure. We need better candidates. We need candidates who are going to be America first, New Yorkers first, right? Putting New Yorkers first before the illegal immigrants, before everyone else. And we need to finally let go of our egos, let go of fulfilling our ego complexes, come together and realize that we have to put in the work. We don't have the luxury of doing all of this infighting. We don't have the luxury of going with and supporting mediocre candidates, misallocation of resources. This is all low-hanging fruit, honestly. I know it doesn't sound like it, but it's easy.
And it seems like a big problem, whether it's New York, Chicago, or even here in Indianapolis. You've got a group of people who say, the crime is out of control. I don't like what's going on. My property tax is high. And then they go to the ballot box and they vote for the same crap that they've been voting for time after time again.
Straight ticket
Democrat, because it's been, you know, just beat into their head. This is what I have to do.
So, you know, I do a lot of work. So I work for the America Fund now. It's the fastest growing conservative funding firm in the country. So I do a lot of work with combating wokeism in the military. And then another initiative I work on is public figure education and training, which includes candidate development. And so we did some focus groups to come up with some data for a new communication strategy for candidates and electeds. And part of the results of the focus group was that Black, Hispanic, and white voters all across the nation, swing voters, moderates, are actually at a point where the leftist messaging that has been working so far, so, you know, the George Floyd story, for example, and how George Floyd turned into a symbol for Black voters, that is really quickly starting to lose its efficacy. So this is the point from a communications perspective at which Republicans can step in. They can use some of the tactics that the left is using, right? Which involves an emotional appeal to voters, telling different communities that they're being seen and they're being heard, but also not making the same mistakes as Democrats are making right now with this hackneyed approach to using race, for example, as a talking point in everything. It's getting old. Voters are getting tired of it. Now's our chance to come in.
Got about 30 seconds left here. You mentioned you're doing something with the military. What is that?
So we are. So wokeism in the military is a big problem, and that has, you know, many different components. One of which is we are replacing merit with race and gender quotas in the military. And we are working right now with a bunch of organizations. We're working with Congress to get our military back on track. Because right now, wokeism in the military is a national security crisis. No one is safe. We are not sending our best to the military.
And you're below recruiting goals.
Oh, severely. And that is absolutely tied to wokeism in the military. No one wants to join anymore because of that.
Nicole Kiprilov, political consultant. Good luck and everything you're trying to do here in Indy. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me. We'd love to be back.